Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Victory Monday, baby?
Oh, James, it's fun to say Victory Monday again. It's fun to be, actually, you know what? It's Victory Tuesday. Let's not get mistaken. It is a Victory Tuesday. We're still excited, even though it's not Monday.
Tuesday, you're right.
I almost forgot too. That's how crazy our week's been already. No, I'm fantastic, James. I'm excited. A lot of things going good in the life of being a Steelers fan, and a lot of fun things happening on my end of life as well. So how are you though?
Man, I'm feeling really good. I love seeing the Steelers play decent football. We got to work on that offensive line, man, but we're going to talk about that. Some really good highlights from some important players that we really needed to see some good performances from. And then we're going to talk about some other guys that really need to step up their game a little bit for Pittsburgh to have a good season this upcoming year. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we've got some Steelers by the Lake news.
We got a lot of Steelers by the Lake news, James. First off, we have one thing for you specifically. We have a brand new 5-star review. So thank you to the person who did that. I know personally who did that, and I will thank them. Don't you worry about that. And then we also, in other big news, we got one new review, and we are now officially at 1K followers on Facebook. Guys, that is huge. That is awesome. We're super excited. The first chance I get, I'm going to make a post. Life story real quick. Life update. I'm moving to Texas from Pennsylvania. It's happening. Once I get situated down there, I'm going to buy a Steelers jersey online because I don't know if they're going to have a place down there for me to buy one. and then I'm going to give it away to a random person. I'm going to post on the social media account. I'll mail it to you. Don't worry about it. I want to do this. James doesn't even know about this until just now. But I want to do this to thank you guys for 1,000 followers. That's huge. Be looking for that in the next few weeks. Maybe I'll do it for kickoff Sunday, like, opening Sunday or home opener. If I don't want to do week one, we'll figure that out. Anyways, 1K followers on Facebook. That is huge.
Awesome. Appreciate every single one of you. Been a big influx in followership the last month or so. And we definitely notice. We definitely appreciate, no doubt about that. Big news in our world, also big news in the world of the AFC North, as we finally got some clarification on the full punishment for Deshaun Watson of the Cleveland Browns. The NFL decided that an 11-game suspension would be sufficient, and a $5 million fine, which apparently the $5 million will all go to a charity.
Yep.
I don't recall what the charity was, but that was the determination they came to. Now, I understand that there is one reason why they went. Well, there's multiple reasons why they went 11 games. Number one, that's going to put Deshaun Watson returning week 13 against the Houston Texans in Houston.
Yep.
That probably will not be pretty. They probably won't be able to use the audio from that game from the language that the fans will be using on how they feel about one Deshaun Watson, especially if any of his victims are in the audience. Also, 11 games was a key number because of how the NFL collective bargaining agreement is written, right? So if you play 6 games or are active for 6 games in a season, then you get one accrued season for it. If they would have suspended him any longer than 11 games, then the current contract for Deshaun Watson would have told an additional year, and he would have only counted $1 million against the cap this year and also only $1 million next year. So by doing this, it gets a full credited season. So it's the $1 million this year that they did on their contract, full well knowing that something like this was likely to happen.
Yep.
And then it's the full contract next year. So his $40 million, $45 million, $50 million, whatever it is,
whatever waste of money,
extravagant number. Yeah. So that ridiculously large number will be the full thing that they will have to pay for him next season. Understanding that part of it, I'm actually kind of happy with it. Because financially the Browns would have benefited had he been suspended any longer.
Correct. So I just think, I'm not going to get into what I think about the situation. It doesn't matter. This is the facts. These are the facts. Deshaun Watson, 11 games. He will be back for the Houston game in Houston, which I can't wait to watch.
You'll be in that area, bro.
I will be in that area. I will be not close enough to go to the game. Nor would I want
Texas,
to go.
What's that about? Yeah, that's about, what, 14 hours from where you'll be, because Texas is so doggone big?
It's big. It's probably about, it's probably like 5 hours. It's probably a 5 hour drive.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot. All right, now we're going to go into Steelers news. So Steelers did waive injured Tuzar Skipper, and they signed an outside linebacker by the names of James Vaughters. Vaughters is his name. I don't know. I don't know much about this James Vaughters guy. Undrafted free agent, if I remember correctly. I don't think he was drafted.
So, yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of NFL resume, just a guy that's been around the league for a while, but not really. I want to say he's like 29, but has like 22 career tackles. So it's something where he doesn't really have much of a resume at all. But some NFL experience of being on some teams anyway.
Yeah.
So we got into Monday's practice. This is the week before the game. And Akello Witherspoon came back to full practice. Zach Gentry, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, and Kevin Dotson all returned to full. So nice to see all of them. We had hopes of seeing all of them play in the upcoming game, the game that just happened on Saturday. Turns out they all made it. We also saw Jannard Avery and Najee Harris returning to practice. So that was a nice sign, too.
Absolutely. And then Kenny Pickett began practicing with the second team on Monday as well, which was important because we already assumed and had heard from different player or coaches and stuff that Kenny Pickett would see an increased role this week for that week's game, which he did. He was the second quarterback to come into the game and played, I think, three drives, maybe two or three drives.
I think that sounds right. Yeah, I think it was only three.
Yeah, and before halftime, and then Mason came in to finish the game, which wasn't bad.
Yeah, honestly, it's what you needed to see. Mike Tomlin said that he wanted to see Kenny with more varsity players. He felt like the competition that he was going against was not necessarily a good competition playing in the third and fourth quarter. So let's see how he holds up against some starters in second string. And turns out he held up pretty well. You know, if you only have one incomplete pass and that happens to be an intentional grounding to stop the clock, then yeah,
it's not
that's
bad.
Pretty good.
That's not bad at all.
But we're going to get to him. Tuesday, we're progressing through the week here. Wide receiver Javon McKinley received an injury settlement. He was previously placed on the injured reserve. That does mean that Pittsburgh will not have to pay his entire salary. That won't count fully against the salary cap now from being on injured reserve. They claimed center Ryan McCollum off waivers from Detroit. He was in their first wave of cuts from 90 down to 85. So that got a new center with some experience. And then they signed guard William Dunkel. Big hulking guy. Yeah. Big man. He got some playing time on Saturday. So it was nice to see. Just wasn't a great performance from some of the backup offensive linemen in the first game. We did see Kenny running for his life a little bit too much in that first game. So some things happened because of it. On that first cut down, they waived guard Nate Gilliam, defensive tackle Doug Costin, offensive tackle Jake Dixon, punter Cameron Nizelik, and center Chris Owen. So three offensive linemen in the first wave, which was a bad sign for all of them.
Very bad sign. And then they also would place the safety Carl Joseph and wide receiver Anthony Miller on IR. And then Calvin Austin was also out of his boot, but was in practice.
Oh, that's great news. Hopefully we get a chance to see him in the third preseason game.
That would be fantastic.
Nobody really knows. Yeah, nobody really knows what the injury is at this point. Just some kind of foot or ankle injury and enough to be in a boot for a few weeks there. But he's out of the boot, which is great. Benny Snell, you said, was back to practice as well.
Didn't say that, but he was.
Say that yet, but he is back. He's back. Same day. Also on Tuesday, that was. Moving on, Jaylen Warren got some practice with the first team offense, which is noticeable.
Very noticeable.
He had a pretty nice first week other than that fumble, but looked good in pass protection, looked good running the ball, looked good receiving the ball. So they're giving him a little more looks. And Chris Oladokun finally got off the pine and got a chance to get some reps in the team drills, which he had not yet the entire preseason at that point. Wednesday, TD Moultrie, Cody.
T.D. Moultrie, linebacker T.D. Moultrie specifically, received an injury settlement, which means he does not affect the salary cap this year, doesn't take a massive hit, which is great. We need to save
not
that salary.
Much.
Not as much. You know what I meant.
Yeah.
and then also
Only a little bit now.
Little bit. It's a lot less than what it would have been. Notable less. Chris Oladokun also got first team reps on Wednesday, which you'll later find out didn't really matter. so moving on to Thursday, Cam Hayward did get rolled up and injured his ankle. Unfortunately, that happened. Unfortunately, though, he says it wasn't bad. He was taken off the field and then walked back later on. Seemed to be walking fairly fine, and I don't expect it to be anything too crazy. Just playing it safe after getting rolled up on. And then Master Teague was waived and injured as well. And then they signed running back Max Borgi, who no one expected to see play. Probably shouldn't have played.
I'm back. You don't see that too often these days. Other than, well, we got Christian McCaffrey in the NFL.
That's about
it. There's like two or three of them maybe across the entire NFL. So kind of a rare thing. There's at least one on a team for right now. We'll see how long Max sticks.
Yep.
But that's his opportunity in the NFL, and let's see how he takes advantage of it. Arthur Maulet injured a hamstring, so he's been missing some practice. Ends up he was unable to play in the second preseason game. Larry Ogunjobi also got a couple of days off. Turned out he was able to play in the game, so that was not really a big point. I thought it might have been. I thought he was going to miss the game, so I noted it, and turns out he played.
He played.
Well, at least I wrote it down, I guess. So
that's fair. Useless. That's fair. So now it is time to go over the game breakdown. We always do this. We go over position by position, just kind of going through. And maybe this will change from week to week. If we find something that we want to talk about or if something sticks out to us, we might do it differently. But for now, this just gets all the bases touched that we want to talk about. So starting off, quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky came in, played well again, started again. 5 of 8 for 60 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Not bad. I'm still confident with his. Oh, his ability to escape a sack, though. Whoa.
Very good, right?
Very good.
Let's be frank. The blocking for him in those first couple of drives was atrocious.
Absolutely horrible.
The offensive line came out on their worst foot forward, which you hate to see. They didn't run block well in this game, and their pass blocking was worse than their run blocking somehow. And not all of them. Not all of them. Let's be frank. I thought, again, we had a decent game out of Mason Cole. I thought he looked fine.
Yep.
And I thought that at right tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor looked fine as well. Everywhere else, not so much. Kendrick Green got the start, and it was ugly. And the only thing that maybe looked worse was some Dan Moore right next to him. So that left side of the line was just absolutely crumbling. And poor Mitch was running for his life. And to still put up decent numbers and to be able to escape that pocket as many times, I think they only let up one sack the whole game somehow.
Yeah, once it was Trubisky, 1 sack for 8 yards. That was it.
Yeah, and honestly, that is a magical performance to only get sacked one time with how awful that blocking was.
Technically, you can call it a sack. Not really. It was an intentional grounding in the end zone, Mason Rudolph. That was still bad blocking.
Yeah,
100%. But that was Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph came in the third quarterback. Second quarterback to come in, Kenny Pickett. 6 of 7, yes, man, 76 yards, 10.9 average, which was the best out of all the guys by 3 yards or more. Phenomenal. Phenomenal play from him. He had a QB rating of 151.5, which I believe is now the highest QB rating for a rookie quarterback ever in preseason.
The perfect rating is 158.3. So he was dang near there, man.
That one incompletion. That one incompletion.
I don't think that even hurt him. It's the yards per completion. If the yards per completion was a little bit higher, then he would have got it. But fantastic performance. Literally had one incomplete pass, and the incomplete pass was a clock stop where he spiked the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So he completed every attempted pass that was actually an attempted pass. Tremendous. And again, he got the opportunity at the end of the first half to be in a 2-minute drill type situation, drove the team right down the field, ended it with a touchdown pass. So this is 2 weeks in a row where he got to perform a 2-minute drill with either the game on the line or the half on the line, and converted it. The kid looks fantastic. He's as accurate as can be. This was the thing that we talked about in the pre-draft process. You know, accuracy is king in the NFL. You know, it's great to have a strong arm, but not every guy with a strong arm ends up being accurate and being able to read a defense.
Yep.
Looks like Kenny can do that pretty doggone well so far. So hopefully he'll get an opportunity to run with that first team this upcoming week. I would love to see him against first team defenders in Detroit here in this final preseason game. But what we've seen from Kenny so far, I am extremely encouraged by. He just looks great.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm excited to see Kenny play. I don't know why you wouldn't let him play with the first string, even if it's just for a drive. Let him go out there. Let him, you know, get mixed in with it, even if it's not the first drive. Maybe Mitch comes in for the first drive and you bring, you know, Kenny Pickett in for the very next drive. Who knows what they're going to do? I would like to see Kenny run with the ones at least a little bit in this preseason, because he may not do it again until he might have to.
Yeah, that's it. You never know when it's going to happen, where he might get forced into action. Maybe there's a muscle pull in a leg or something, and Mitch has to miss some time. You just never know the way the NFL is. You're one play away from going in at all times. So it'd be nice to see him get an opportunity to run with the ones. Maybe Najee will get a chance to play too. And if you put Najee out there, that gives you a little bit more confidence knowing that he'll be able to pick up if one of the offensive linemen gets absolutely run over.
Again.
Steamrolled. Najee be able to pick that up and not let your quarterback get hit. So
absolutely.
I would love to see it, but great performance by him. And then, you know, we'll just touch on Mason real quickly here. Mason put another nice performance together.
Yep.
He got basically the entire second half. Put us in solid numbers, you know, 17 to 21, 127 yards and a touchdown. And again, a game winner.
Yeah.
You know, he drove him right down the field and a nice pass to Tyler Snead right at the goal line there. Made sure he put it out in front of him. He caught it in stride, got it in the end zone pretty easily.
Yep.
So Mason probably is his best appearance in a while as far as accuracy, I thought.
Oh, I would agree.
17-21 is very good.
Yeah.
So
and one of those incompletions was a safety where it was just a bad IQ play on him, but it was, I mean, he had no time to really process it, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, John LeGlue just got beat real bad on the play. The guy pushed his outside shoulder and just kind of went right through him. So just a bad rep for John, which sucks because John had an awesome first game. He looked really good in the first week. And his game wasn't bad. He just had that one bad play,
yeah.
Per se. So I think the rest of the game, LeGlue looked pretty solid. Honestly, like one of my hot takes, and I know we're not talking offensive line right now, is I think LeGlue got a dress rehearsal in this game to be the fourth offensive tackle and the third interior offensive lineman at the same time. He played an extensive amount in the second half of that game at right tackle.
Yeah.
And this is what we saw from John LeGlue last year before being forced into action as a guard just because there was nobody left on the team that was healthy. And he played decent at guard last year. Well, he's getting some opportunity to prove that he can play tackle also, and I think it's because Trent Scott looked so bad in the first game. So they went a lot of Trent Scott at left tackle and John LeGlue at right tackle in this game, and I didn't think LeGlue looked bad at tackle at all. And he's kind of got the frame for it, honestly. He's kind of a leaner, longer guy anyway. So it might be that maybe John LeGlue's our number four tackle. And also our number three backup interior offensive lineman at the same time.
It could be. It bodes well for him to have that title because that means he's definitely not getting cut. I can tell you that much right now.
Right? Yeah. I mean, are you going to keep him or are you going to keep some random other interior offensive lineman? Or are you going to keep Trent Scott, who doesn't look very good at tackle?
You're going to have to keep him. Let's be real.
Yeah, I would rather have LeGlue right now.
Oh, 100%.
We can touch briefly on running backs. Nobody was productive.
No, not at all.
What was it? What was it? Jalen Warren had the touchdown catch.
No, it was freaking Benny Snell.
Benny Snell had the touchdown catch.
Saved his Pittsburgh
career.
Didn't
he break some tackles getting into the end zone too? One tackle. You'll only give him one. All right. Cody says it really wasn't that impressive, but it was probably the best play of any of the running backs on the night because they didn't run the ball well at all. And a lot of that was because the offensive line was so bad.
Yeah.
There just was no holes.
The most rushing yards by a running back this game was 7, and a wide receiver and a quarterback beat them with 11 and 10. And that was on one rush that Mateo Durant got 7 yards. And that was.
Yeah. And he fumbled on the run.
Yeah.
So let's keep that for what it's worth. You don't fumble as a running back of the Pittsburgh Steelers and expect to keep your job. That's a little foreshadowing.
Correct.
So on to other players. Let's talk tight ends for a brief moment here. I thought we saw some nice play out of both Freiermuth and Gentry. It was nice to see them both back in the game. Gentry had a catch where he was breaking tackles left and right as he went down the field. I loved that about him last year. It's nice to see that he's still tough to bring down. You never know when guys talk about losing weight and leaning up a little bit. Sometimes they're not as strong as they were previously. It looked to me that he's still every bit as strong on that play. I love a tight end that can shake people off and drag people with him after he catches a ball. Both these guys can do that. Freiermuth showed some juice on getting open down the field and being on the same page with Kenny Pickett, which is so important because these guys could end up playing together for 10 years, maybe even longer. You never know. So nice to see them kind of look at each other, make eye contact, and then Freiermuth go down the field and Kenny hit him.
Yeah.
So fantastic on that. I didn't think anything too crazy out of the other three guys.
No.
Connor Hayward had an opportunity to convert a two-point conversion at the end of the game. Unfortunately, the ball went through his hands. It was a little bit high, but he did get his hands on it. You are expected to make that catch in the NFL. Weird because he honestly has really good hands. Just in that moment, didn't catch the ball.
Yeah. Again, we talked about the wide receivers here a little bit. The receiving. Gunnar Olszewski made an amazing play to potentially pick up a first down on a very key drive, and wound up not picking it up even after making very impressive moves because he wound up fumbling it, giving the ball back to Jacksonville. But I do want to applaud the fact that he has come out and performed at a higher level in the receiver category than expected. So that's been very huge on his part.
And let's be honest, when we're talking about Gunner, that boy can shake and bake.
Shake and bake. Just like Talladega Nights, even though we're talking football, not NASCAR.
Let's go, baby. You're moving to the South. We got to talk NASCAR for a second.
That's fair. That's fair. Well,
but anyway, I thought that was excellent to see from him. Incredible performance from Tyler Vaughns on that last drive where Pittsburgh drove down to get the go-ahead touchdown. Right? Same from what we saw from him last week.
Same thing.
Catching balls, breaking tackles, getting lots of yards after contact. Tyler Vaughns is making this last wide receiver position something very serious. So is Steven Sims, because he's showing good abilities outside of just catching the ball.
Yep.
Whether it be in the return game, whether it be in the end around game,
they're making it very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we were going to be talking about Anthony Miller probably being a shoe-in. Turns out Anthony Miller, poor guy sitting on the injured reserve. Miles Boykin showing that he's a pretty solid gunner. Tyler Vaughns and Steven Sims showing some real ability with receiving the ball. And honestly, Vaughns looks like he might be tough to leave off of the 53, man.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking.
With a game-winning touchdown week one and then four catches for 56 yards. And basically was the go-to guy for Mason on that drive.
He 100% was. 100% was. Yeah, I'm excited for that for sure. I think that it's going to be very difficult whenever we get the chance to do our 53-man roster predictions again. Hopefully before they come out with them.
That's the goal. The goal is to do it after the last preseason game here.
Yeah, with me moving, it might be difficult. We'll figure that out.
we might have to do it on paper, and I'll just type up an article. if that's what it is,
that's what we got to do. but again, these wide receivers, even Tyler Snead getting that game-winning touchdown catch, technically.
Yeah, right? Let's be honest. Good awareness. Was able to get across the goal line before the guy could tackle him, and good separation on the play. He made sure that he didn't have that guy draped on him.
Yeah, Tyler Snead, 3 targets, 3 receptions. Just saying. He was my sleeper. He's my sleeper.
Pretty good percentage.
We're not going to talk about my other sleeper. He's already gone.
Don't want to talk about Chris Owens right now. or Chris Steele.
Yeah, defensive
especially
side of the
since he got run over for a touchdown.
True. offensive line, we basically talked about already. They played fairly poorly.
Yeah, but
poorly.
I'm going to touch briefly. Go you know, for it. Kendrick Green started at left guard and was atrocious when they brought in Kevin Dotson. It seemed to slow down the bleeding a little bit. It was like an undersized Band-Aid. It was still bleeding, and it was still noticeable. It just wasn't as bad. So I felt like definitely was better performance from Kevin Dotson than Kendrick Green. I really hope that they stop with this nonsense and just start Kevin Dotson in the third game and let Kendrick Green roll with the twos. I feel bad for whoever plays with the second unit because he's going to get beat and he's going to get beat often. You can't take a bad center, move him to guard, and fix his issues. You just have a bad guard now. So that's what he is. I think his best bet is to lose 30, 40 pounds and try to play fullback somewhere because this just ain't working on offensive line for him. like we said, Mason Cole had a good showing, I thought. I thought also out at right tackle, we had a good performance from Chooks. Past that, nothing really to brag about. We did see a decent amount of the new guard, William Dunkel, at right guard in the second half of the game, and I thought he looked good. He's a big, strong dude.
Very
not
big.
Somebody that's going to get moved off of the line. So
yeah,
he's definitely a possibility for the practice squad. And you never know if he plays well enough and Kendrick Green plays bad enough, maybe he steals Kendrick Green's job. I wouldn't be opposed to it at this point.
No.
I just think Kendrick Green looks awful out there, man.
I would agree. Moving to the defensive side of the ball, defensive line.
There's some stuff to talk about.
There is some tough stuff to talk about. DeMarvin Leal got his first sack, which was great news.
Yes. Dude looks quick.
Very quick. Quicker than
I
expected.
You see him running down that running back on a one play?
Yep.
Woo. For a second, I wasn't sure who it was because I saw 98. I saw how fast he was moving. I saw he had the right angle to cut the guy off to the sideline. And I said, what linebacker am I not thinking of that this is?
Like, that was Taco Charlton
last year. No, it was a 290-pound defensive lineman and moving like somebody that's 270 or 260. So I just thought it was a nice performance from DeMarvin. You got a little wrestling going on.
Yeah, they're going on, whatever.
That's Cody's dog and cat. If you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing a little bit of a show right now. Those two are wrestling, having fun behind them there.
They don't know they're going to be sitting in a car for 24 hours. So,
yeah, they better have their fun now. It's going to be real close quarters.
Yeah. But yeah,
nice performance from DeMarvin.
Great performance.
Tyson Alualu, it was nice to finally see him back in action. He got a batted pass, showing his IQ there. And then that rubbed off, and Henry Mondo got one later on. He said, oh, I can do that too. And he got his big old paw up there.
I tell you what, Henry Mondo's making that defensive line thing hard, the breakdown of it, because he's playing consistently better every year than he did the past.
I thought he was a lot better in week two than he was in week one. Still has that high amount of effort. Didn't get a sack this time around, but I thought he held up a lot better in the run defense.
He did.
Didn't get pushed around as easily as he did week one, which sometimes that's just a little bit of technique stuff. He probably didn't get as much practice during the offseason leading up to that week one because he was running with the third team.
Yep.
So now he's gotten a little more of that attention from Coach Carl Dunbar. He's probably going, showing him some technique stuff. I bet Cam Hayward's working with him a little bit too. And it's showing, it's helping. And I think at worst, he at least needs to be kept on the practice squad again. But he's making a push. He's making it interesting. Nice to see that. Past that, I didn't really think any of the other defensive linemen really stuck out that much. Larry Ogunjobi, really nice against the run in the first quarter.
Yeah.
He did get some action in there with Tyson Alualu. And I think Wormley was the other one that started on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked better. Looked better seeing Larry Ogunjobi out there. I thought he was real stout against the run, so I'll give him that.
Which is what we need on our defensive line, let's be real.
Thank God we do.
Linebackers, specifically outside, TJ Watt gets his first sack of the preseason, which is phenomenal. He went to celebrate and then was like, basically, nah, not yet. Wait till the regular season.
Yeah, you don't get that in the preseason.
No, wait till the regular season and he gets that that sack trophy that he's been fighting so hard for and should already have. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he should.
Derek Tuzka, I thought, played fairly well. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about...
Honestly, I thought Jannard Avery looked pretty good. Apparently, some of the coaches didn't agree with me. We'll talk about that later. But I thought he was real active and got in on a lot of plays.
Yeah, Miles Jack looked fairly decent. Devin Bush, not bad, which is a plus? Question mark? Maybe it's not. I don't know. The Devin Bush experiment is confusing me very, very much.
I thought it was a little better from Devin this week. Still didn't splash, didn't make any big plays, but it was a lot better against the run. Had one play where he got washed like 10 yards back, but that happens to him sometimes because he's so doggone small and he doesn't fight off blocks real well. But he was more aggressive this week and got in on a few more tackles, which I like to see. He was right at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage a few times. So a better performance from Devin Bush in this game, I thought personally.
Yep.
And Robert Spillane, I thought, was excellent against the pass. He's got this reputation where people just automatically say, oh, Robert Spillane sucks against the pass. Well, when you actually pay attention to him play, there were multiple times in this game where he was hitting people the second they caught the pass, or even tackling wide receivers at or behind the line of scrimmage. He ended up coverage in a wide receiver and got the dude down right away because of how well he read the play and how well he got to the spot.
Yep. He led the team with 8 tackles.
Yeah, Robert was everywhere in this game. I thought he had a nice game. Whatever you want to call it, right? Mark Robinson playing extensively next to Robert Spillane.
He jumped over top of
Buddy Johnson in the depth chart there. And he earned it. He earned it. He looked better than him in week one. Neither one of them, I thought, looked amazing week one. But Mark Robinson a little bit better than Buddy Johnson. Week two, it's not even close.
Not even close. Mark Robinson
was everywhere, man.
Like a missile.
And the hits he was making were impactful. He hit a wide receiver late in the game. Dude was in the air when he hit him. He knocked him back 3 yards in the air.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal play from Mark Robinson. Even the play
shaking off of defenders.
Yep. Even the play that that Justin Lane, which we'll get to in a little bit, got the interception on.
Yeah.
Mark Robinson was a large part of that by blitzing at a good time and making an offensive lineman have to decide between the guy he was currently blocking or the speeding bullet that was Mark Robinson coming for his quarterback. Yeah,
he chose to pick up Mark Robinson and not get his quarterback's head ripped off because he was already blocking a guy outside of him in Rondale Carter.
Yep.
And then Rondale got in the quarterback's face and bad pass.
Bad pass, good pick. That led to the touchdown again. That wound up winning the game.
It did.
Yep.
It did, absolutely. That was the turnover that got us the ball back.
That's 2 weeks in a row we got a turnover that won us the game.
Yeah.
Granted, this time was because they failed to kick a field goal, but whatever.
Hey, that's fine.
We'll take it.
We had to keep them short and make it a long kick too, right? Mm-hmm. That was like a 57-yard kick because of the defense holding.
Yep.
So that's significant. And again, I think it was Robert Spillane on that last play that tackled the wide receiver and got him to the ground so that they didn't get any yards.
Yep.
Hamilcar Rashad, real quick. I know we already moved past the outside linebackers.
Yeah.
He showed some stuff in this game, some ability to get after the quarterback. And I think that's going to be a little foreshadowing for us. He might be on the inside right now. Not on the inside looking out. He might have cracked that inside with that ability. He's got the frame and the length that they look for. And I thought he showed good on defense. Good for him. The opportunity is there. Pittsburgh's trying to find some good, high-quality backup outside linebackers. Maybe it's Hamilcar Rashad. He was a high-pedigree guy.
Maybe it is. We'll find out. We will find out. Other than that, I have nothing left for linebackers. No. Corners and safeties. A couple guys, even linebackers included, missing some tackles that were bugging me. Trey Norwood was involved twice on that. Kazi was involved once on that. I saw Justin Lane get involved once on that. He made up for it later on with the interception. A couple guys just missing tackles. But other than that, Trey Norwood didn't appear to play horrible. I thought Trey Norwood had an okay game minus the missed tackles, the 2 missed tackles I talked about. I feel like Trey Norwood played fairly well. Donovan Steiner came in and played extensive time. Unfortunately, Terrell Edmonds looked okay.
No, real stout against the run, but that's his MO, right?
Yep.
You know, that's what he's been best at his entire career, is coming up and hitting people at or behind the line of scrimmage against the run. Terrell Edmonds looked stout in that category, no doubt about that. I thought the starting cornerback trio looked pretty decent, Cody. Mm-hmm. Akilah Witherspoon, again, tackling in a sound manner, hitting people hard and getting them to the ground.
Glad he played. Again, glad he played after last week.
Yeah, we didn't know, right? It was a shoulder injury, or it looked like a shoulder injury. We weren't sure what was going to happen. You know, and was he going to get a little gun shy? Because, you know, he had a reputation for making business decisions, as they say, and not hitting people as hard as he could, or opting not to get involved in a tackle if somebody else was already involved or whatever.
Yep.
He has not been doing that thus far this preseason. He's been getting involved, hitting people hard, getting them to the ground. He did that again in this game. I was happy to see it. We almost got a pick out of Cam Sutton. He read a out pattern pretty well. He jumped it, but unfortunately, excellent placement by the former number one overall pick there. And that That's something I forgot to mention when we were talking about the offensive line struggles in the beginning of the game. Dan Moore Jr. and Kendra Green really had a very difficult matchup in this game. You're talking about former first-round pick and Josh Allen, and then another first-round pick this year, the number one guy out of Georgia, the pass rusher. They had some extreme talent on that defensive line that Kendra Green and Dan Moore Jr. were going against. And I did think that Dan Moore got better in the second quarter, kind of settled down from how he was playing in that first quarter and started playing better. But the first quarter was pretty awful from him.
Yeah, a little bit.
But yeah, nice to see that starting trio. Gave us a little bit of inside scoop as to what we might see in the regular season with Cam Sutton and playing in the slot, Levi Wallace and Akella Witherspoon on the outside.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what it's going to look like when the season starts.
Moving on to special teams. Boswell played a little rough, missed his only field goal attempt, which was the first one off the upright, but was 1-for-1 on extra points. And then we saw Nick Skiba come. Yeah, barely. We saw Nick Skiba come in again.
Skiba.
1-for-1 on field goals. 3 points, we'll take it. And he's foreshadowing. Never mind. No, I'm not going to talk about it. We'll get to it in a second.
hey, while we're talking special teams real quick, Anthony McFarland with a
that's
really
what I was
nice
just going to go. Return, yep.
38 yards. And also I would like to mention, after the safety, you get a free kick opportunity. Most teams choose to punt it instead of placing the ball down. Presley Harvin absolutely boomed that ball, went 72 yards in the air.
Yep.
So the leg that this guy has when he absolutely uncorks it is incredible. You love to see that. And I thought that was worth mentioning, that really was an incredible kick from him. On that free kick opportunity, he kicked it over to the return man's head. They didn't get a good return because of how far he kicked it. It went a lot further than they expected. So,
yeah,
I thought that was excellent and definitely worth noting.
Yeah, I agree with that. Presley Harvin, again, punting the ball in general, 4 punts for 177 yards, 44.3 average. Not bad. We will
good,
take
man.
That.
We'll
good.
Take that.
Absolutely.
After
that, we're going to move on. Again, Pittsburgh did win 16-15, just to clarify.
Got to do it again. We waited until the end again.
And
I messed up what day the victory day was.
That's okay. Just today, the Steelers did wind up releasing 5 players in order to get down to the mandatory 80-man roster. And those players were linebacker Jannard Avery, which you heard James talk about, saying that he felt like he played fairly well. Receiver Christian Blake, who we haven't really seen any of at this point, anyways. Running back Mateo Durant. Can't fumble the ball. Jalen Warren, take note. You've already been there. Don't do it again. And quarterback, the 7th-round pick, Chris Oladokun, as well as the kicker, Nick Skiba. So I personally expect Chris and Nick to both get picked back up to try and be put on the practice squad. I think Pittsburgh. You know, we've seen them try to keep an extra kicker punter on the practice squad. Skiba has been playing fairly well up to this point, and so I think at this point we might see both of them potentially return. So, yeah.
Pittsburgh's got a habit of keeping an extra kicker now that you do 16 on the practice squad, and they seem to be leaning towards guys that are accurate, don't have the strongest leg in the world, because you'd rather have a guy that's going to make most of the extra points and at least your field goals from 40 on in. If you can't make them from 50-plus, that's not the end of the world. At least you got a pretty accurate dude. Seems like that's what Nick Skiba is to me, is a pretty accurate kicker. Just not a huge leg, but it's adequate at least.
Yeah.
So you can get by with him if you needed to. I was surprised to see Chris Oladokun cut already. But again, we think that this might be a chess, not checkers kind of move here, where they cut him now. If nobody claims him on waivers, then they try to sneak him onto the practice squad after the final cut down after this upcoming game on Sunday. So that'll be our final preseason game coming up Sunday versus the Detroit Lions. What is that, like a 4:30 kick, I think it is, Cody?
I believe it is a 4:30 kick.
4:30 at the ACK.
Yeah.
Your place, Acrisure Stadium.
I don't want to talk about it. But again, we can't thank you guys so much for listening, for liking, for following. 1,000 followers on Facebook. You guys are awesome. Keep liking, keep sharing all the stuff. We appreciate everything you guys do. Again, be on the lookout for that jersey giveaway. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.